I had a thought and shared it with the brethren that maybe the Lord wanted us to talk about ego and hearing from the Lord. You know, if there's anything that would cause loss or gain in a decision, let me turn that around. Any decision that could bring either loss or gain, ego is involved. Even if the loss or gain is only to ego. But ego is involved. Ego really sticks up for self. Let me identify ego here according to Webster's. Okay? Ego, the self, the individual, as self-aware, egotism, on and on. Here's egocentric, viewing everything in relation to oneself. Here's egoism, selfishness, self-interest. And then there's egotism, which is excessive reference to oneself in speaking or writing, self-conceit. There's ego trip mentioned here, an experience that gratifies or indulges the ego. Well, we all know about it. We've had to live with it. We know we have to overcome it in order to walk with the Lord. And the old self, right? And like I was saying, anytime we have a decision to make or anytime we want to hear from the Lord, and the answer would be, would cost us something or it would gain us something, that's when we really have to be careful. Matter of fact, when you make decisions and when you think you've heard from the Lord, it's always good to have somebody that's wise with you who doesn't have an axe to grind. In other words, they've got nothing to gain or nothing to lose. All they want is the will of God. In fact, you should always view seeking out the Lord's will in that way, not what you can gain, not what you will lose, but is it the will of God? Because you lose every time you make a step and it's not the will of God. But ego screams in our ear because it has selfish desire, selfish ambition. Let me read Jeremiah 17 in verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Now, the heart he's talking about here is the deceitful heart, not the renewed, born-again heart. So this is self, okay? This is the ego we're talking about. The heart is deceitful. It will deceive you. Your heart will deceive you. Okay. You must be wise. You must have the word of God to restrain you. You must not be moved away from the word of God, or you will be deceived very, very quickly. The heart is deceitful above all things. Wow. And it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? You don't really understand. You can't really know your heart. You can be very, very deceived by your heart and not know it. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the minds. I try the heart, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So be careful that you don't follow after the ego. As the partridge that sitteth on eggs, which she hath not laid, so is he that getteth riches, and not by right. In the midst of his days they shall leave him, and his end shall be as a fool. And at his end he shall be a fool. Wow. So, yep, the ego likes prominence, likes riches, likes prosperity, likes all things that seem to bring gain to it. That's why you cannot trust it. That's why in the abundance of counselors, there is safety. You know, I'm going to tell you, even good friends, close friends, friends that love you, can be more emotional when they are dealing with you and decisions. They can be. And they can actually try you and tempt you. There was an attempt to do this to Jesus in Matthew 16. I'll read it to you. From that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And the third day be raised up. So here was a decision that was going to cost him something. Now most people, of course, when faced with the same decision, decide, I ain't going there. That's not the will of God. It's not the will of God for me to commit suicide here, you know. Well, Jesus didn't see it that way. He knew what the will of God was. He knew that's the reason he was sent into the world. But Peter had a problem. Well, Peter had something to lose here. Here we are. You know, Jesus was going to lose something, but Peter had something to lose too, something very precious to him. In verse 22, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee. So Peter's ego was getting in the way. His selfish ambition was getting in the way. What he wanted was what was coming out of his mouth. He was not hearing the voice of God. He was hearing the voice of ego. And, of course, the devil loves to use your ego. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He knew it was Satan speaking through Peter's ego to convince him to seek what was his desire. The devil loves to give you things that are your desire. He knows this is the way to entrap you. He knows you'll listen to your ego more so than any other things. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a stumbling block unto me. For thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. In other words, his interest, Peter's interest, was not in doing only the will of the Father, but his own will. And that, because of that, Satan was able to use him. And no doubt that Satan impersonated God. Now, why does ego listen? Well, it listens because it wants to listen. Everybody else, if they didn't have an axe to grind, would say, is that you, Satan? But, you see, Peter wanted to hear this. And so it was very easy for him to say, yep, that's God. You know, you hear people saying, God told me this, God told me that. But when you stop and think about it, in many cases, it's their ego. They wanted to hear it, and the devil gave it to them. Verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, his ego. Remember what the definition of ego is? Self, right? Let him deny himself. Let him deny his ego and take up his cross and follow me. A cross is for ego to die on, so you don't have to put up with that deceitfully wicked heart the rest of your days, deceived and being led astray from the Lord, right? If we don't bear our cross, we will be a fool in the end, because ego will rule. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. Anybody wants to save his ego, he has to lose it. If anybody would have to save his life, he would have to lose his ego. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Praise God. For what shall a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world? So, listen to this. What shall a man be profited? So what kind of eternal profit is there if a person shall gain in this world? Because that's what ego wants. He wants to gain. No, Jesus, you don't go to your cross because Peter wants you to stick around. He wants to follow you the rest of his days. Right? If he shall gain the whole world and forfeit his life, what shall a man give in exchange for his life? So, Peter was trying to be a stumbling block unto Jesus. And, of course, he was well-meaning. He loved the Lord. He didn't want to lose the Lord. He didn't want Jesus to... He wanted to see victory, man. These guys really wanted Jesus to become king and rule on the earth. You know, that was kind of what they were trained anyway. But Jesus had been telling them that, but they weren't listening very good because they really didn't want to listen, that he was going to the cross, and that's the reason he came into the world. And, of course, that's the reason we came into this world, too, to go to our cross, right? But Jesus was constrained by the word. And Peter had not yet discovered how to do that. You know, look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." You don't dare listen to your ego, "but doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works?" Well, of course, but the ego was involved here. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So, evidently, they weren't entering into the kingdom by doing the will of the Father. It was their own will. They were following their ego. Even when they went out to do the work of God, it seems, they were following their ego. And, you know, we have to be constrained by the word. The word brings us to our cross. You know, Romans chapter 7, verse 11 says, "For sin, finding occasion through the commandment, beguiled me, and through it slew me." So, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and righteous, and good. Yes, the commandment restrains us from even listening to ego. You know how you can tell when you're following ego? Is you're trying to get by the commandment, or you're just ignoring it. Anytime you're doing that, you know you are ruled by ego. The commandment was given to crucify ego, and ego fights against it. Ego does not want to lose its life. It fights and struggles against it. So, if you're looking for a loophole and you're ignoring the overwhelming majority of Scripture and you found one that agrees with you and you're running with it, just know you're following ego and the devil is behind it. Okay? The Word constrains us from giving in to ego. If the Word of God forbids you to do what you're doing and you're ignoring it, you are following your ego. It will destroy you in the end. You know, Ephesians 4, let me read this to you, verse 22. It says that you put away, as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that waxeth corrupt after the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in your mind, that you be renewed in spirit, of your mind, and put on the new man that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So the old man that waxes corrupt after the lusts of deceit. The lusts are deceiving you. If you give in to what you desire, like Peter did, what comes out of you, you may think it's God speaking to you, but it's not. It's your ego, and it's Satan using your ego. And therefore, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it's exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? If you think you know more than God, then you don't pay attention to the Scriptures. But you'll have no excuse, because if you don't do the will of the Father, you may call him Lord, Lord. You might cast out demons. You might do many mighty works. But in the end, he's going to tell you, depart from me. I never knew you. So it's a bad deal. You have to be careful. It's good to have good friends who also have an understanding of the crucified life, that, and they're not going to be ruled by their emotions for you. They're going to know what's, know and believe and want to do the best, what's best for you. What's best for us is to go to our cross. This is what the whole world's been created to do, bring us to our cross. And many times in the Scriptures we see much evidence of people who have been taken over by their ego. Any of you brethren feel to jump in there, just please do. You're mighty welcome. I guess Brother Balaam was probably one of those that was really taken over by his ego, and everybody loves to point to him in Numbers 22. How that Balak, you know, sent him really honorable men with the rewards of divination, and to see if he wouldn't curse the children of Israel. And, of course, he went to God, and God told him, no, you can't curse them, they're blessed. And don't go with them. And so when his princes returned to him, Balak decided to, he was in such desperate straits because the children of Israel were flooding into his area, and he wanted to go out and fight with them, but he wanted to know he had the authority to whoop them, you know. And so he, in his desperation, and the people were obviously in great distress over the numbers of the Israelites that were flooding into their area. And so they were putting pressure on their government, their king. And so Balak decided to send even more honorable men, his great princes, to go and offer unto Balaam great honor. Now, he said he would promote him to very great honor. And even anything he asked, he would do it. And, of course, Balak gave a very religious answer, and it was very true. I can't go beyond the word of the Lord of my God to do less or more. Oh, that was good, but down in his heart, this wasn't quite what he was convinced of. You know, what he was saying was one thing, and what he was doing was another. Because the next thing you know, he's telling him, now you wait here, let me go see if I can talk the Lord into this. Let me see what else he'll tell me. If he'll tell me something else. Now later, he said to Balak, God's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. So, doctrinally speaking, he already knew this wasn't right, you know, that he had gotten an answer from the Lord. And so, of course, as you know, the story, his own ego, his own selfish ambition, had convinced him that maybe God would change his mind for his sake, you know. You know, so he could be promoted to great honor. Of course, the flesh does wonderful things when it's promoted to great honor. But you don't grow in the wisdom of the Lord, and you don't take up your cross, and you don't get crucified. And so God said, came to him in the night. He, you know, he even knew his thought. He didn't even get a chance to ask the Lord. But God knew what was in his mind immediately, and he came to him in the night. He said, if men are come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak unto you, that shall you do. And so Balaam was very happy, and he rose up and settled his ass. And at the same time, the scripture says that God's anger was kindled because he went. Even this time, even God himself did tell him to go. I mean, the when he returned to God to ask him the same question, that was his ego talking. But when God saw his ego and saw he was giving heed to it, he told him to go. And And then, of course, the angel of the Lord was waiting there to destroy him. And he told him he was perverse before him. He was headlong, as the Hebrew is translated sometimes. He was headlong. He was self-willed, in other words. His ego had taken over. And, you know, folks, there are, you can always tell this in someone when they want to do their will more than God's. You can't talk them into the scriptures. You can't reason with them. They've always got a reason. But it may not even be a scripture reason. It's just a reason. You know, why they want to do. They may be tempted to be promoted to great honor. Many people want to take authority that's not given unto them. And so they have selfish ambition for their ego. Or they may have some gain in mind, you know, money, material things, possessions, like Balaam was. Position. People love position. They love to be honored. Many people are tempted to take positions that God doesn't give them. But the scriptures warns and gives precedent that God has a certain way, for instance, to ordain elders. He has a certain way in scriptures. He's not going to depart from his designed order there. But the devil appears to a lot of people and tells them, well, I've chosen you to be thus and thus, and you're this and that, and you're an apostle, and you're a great prophet, and you're this and you're that. But nobody came to him to ordain him, as in the scriptures. No apostle Amen. Came to him to ordain him, as in the scriptures. And it doesn't matter to them. Yeah. They have a selfish ambition. They want authority. I hear an amen back there. Anybody got something to share?
Yeah, Dave. This is Brother Rory.
Hey, and, Rory.
You talk about men being offered those a good offer for position and authority and reputation and ego. Of course, most people are familiar with, you know, the story of Jesus being offered the same thing when the mm-hmm. when the devil took him to the earthly temple, to the high mm-hmm. position in the temple, and offered him the same thing. There was a symbolic action being walked out by the Lord there. But you know, one day I was reading in John chapter 7, and Jesus' own, the Feast of the Jews was coming up. The Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, which was, it was a mandatory feast. One of the mandatory feasts they would have to keep under the law. And, Jesus' own brother, I assume that was his earthly family, his earthly brethren, it says they came to Jesus at that time. Because the men were going up there to keep that Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. And his own brothers told him, they said, you know, leave here, leave home, or leave Galilee, and go into Judea. So that you're...
Okay, we lost Rory for a minute here. Let's see if he comes back on. Yep, even brethren can... lead you astray. They don't necessarily have a spiritual desire for you. They have a fleshly desire for you. They want to see you around. They want to see you protected. They want to see you prospered. And they give you all kinds of reasons why God would not want you to do this or to do that. You ever hear their reasoning is always little phrases like, God doesn't want you to be a doormat. God doesn't want you to be dangerous. God doesn't want you to do anything that would take away the breadwinner from the family or whatever. You know, just all kinds of ideas. Some people say their family's got to come before their ministry. their family's got, well, I'm sorry, folks, Jesus said the very opposite. To some people, you can't get them to do the will of God. Their family comes first. They can't
Amen.
Sacrifice. They won't sacrifice. You're back, Rory. Go ahead.
Yes,
Brad.
I sure apologize. Thought we had that fixed.
Okay.
Well, as I was saying, that Jesus' own brothers wanted him to go up into Jerusalem and show himself. This is at the in the first part of John chapter 7. And show himself by signs and demonstration who he was and manifest himself to the world. That's his own brothers were telling him to do that. And here he was, he told them no. He said, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, your season's always with you. And he's telling them that's basically that's the world's way. And he wouldn't do it their way. And over again, we saw Jesus doing things. He would do a miracle, and he would leave. Or he would do a miracle, and he would charge them that they tell no man tell no one. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 18, he said, he that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But Jesus said, I received not honor from men. He refused it. And then he warned him. He said, if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. I just find it so amazing as we read and looked at the character and nature of Jesus Christ, how he refused glory and he would do things and not take credit. He didn't promote his ministry. They didn't advertise, you know, when his brothers came to him to try to talk him into promoting his ministry, to put it in modern terminology, you know, he refused that. He would not do it that way. And, as you compare how Jesus operated in this way, with humbleness and humility, that, It's astonishing to compare his ministry to what we've all seen around us in so many different places, you know, with the names and the titles and the promoting and the advertisements and, you know, everywhere you look in the church world, whether it's the business cards or the phone directory, you know, billboards, I mean, it's all over. And these are men who are responding to the temptation to promote their own ministry, totally in contrast to what the Lord did. And Jesus even pointed out, I think you touched on this, how the religious leaders would get honor from one to another. You know, they would, of course, in our church experience, we call them glory to the pastor testimonies. And, you know, you'd have a visiting preacher come in and, oh, he would just speak of what a great vision the pastor had and how there was going to be more people in a bigger building and this and that. And, the flowery words they would give one another, it was after a while we started to get uncomfortable with that. And, now, of course, we know why. It was just contrary to the way that Jesus would do it. You know, it's gone so far now. I mean, you know, if Jesus was to do things the way the modern preachers do, he could have had the whole world literally following him, but he didn't do it that way. And if he was our role model and our example, then there's something there that we should learn from. I'm personally convinced that the end time ministry is going to be through people that do not have a name or a reputation or promote self, and that there are people that God will be able to trust with, you know, with his riches, his truth, you know, his anointing, because they've died to the ego of self and their desire is to build God's kingdom and not their own. Back to you, Brother
Amen.
David.
I agree with that 100%. That's where we're headed, folks. Guaranteed. True. You know, the Bible tells you in Proverbs 27, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. A stranger and not thine own lips. Praise be to God. That is self-abasing, right? Taking no credit. God is the one that does it all, right? And 25 and 27, it says, it's not good to eat much honey. So for men to search out their own glory is grievous. It's grievous to the Lord. Why should we seek our glory? We're seeking the Lord's glory, right? And another one in chapter 30. Let me see if I can find that. Chapter 30 and verse 32. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Be careful, the Lord is saying, not to lift up yourself, right? And I remember also in James chapter 4. Let me read that to you. Let's see. 13, it says, come now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? You're a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills. In other words, don't be so self-confident. You don't know where you're going to be. You don't know what you're going to be able to do. If the Lord wills, we shall both live and do this or that. But now you glory in your vauntings. And all such glorying is evil. To him, therefore, that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. All such glorying is evil. And let me see. In Mark, it's chapter 10 or 11. Let me see if I can find this verse. Okay, Mark chapter 10, in verse 35. And there came near unto him James and John, the sons of Zebedee, saying unto him, Teacher, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we ask of thee. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And in other words, are you going to go through the crucifixion, you know, as I am? I mean, Jesus was promoted to glory because he didn't glorify himself. He crucified himself, you know. And they said unto him, we are able. And Jesus said unto them, the cup that I drink, you shall drink. Because they certainly did go to their cross, didn't they? And with the baptism that I am baptized with, shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for them for whom it hath been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be moved with indignation concerning James and John. Of course, they were having a little problem too, weren't they? A little ego problem. Here's these guys trying to jump out ahead of us, you know, with the competition here, you know. They were having their own little ego problem, and Jesus called them unto him. He recognized the whole bunch of them. He called them unto him, and he said unto them, you know that they who are accounted to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. But whosoever would become great among you shall be your minister or servant. Okay? And whosoever will be first among you shall be your bondservant, literally. Servant of all. The Son of Man also came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, or served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So, you know, there's so many people that want promotion in the kingdom like they got promotion in the world. They're competitive. They seek the glory that comes from men rather than the glory that comes from God, because the glory that comes from God is for those who are self-abasing instead of self-exalting. Now, if we humble ourselves, the Lord will exalt us. But if we exalt ourselves, the Lord will humble us. That's just his way. And I also liked what Rory was, the verse that Rory brought up in Luke chapter 4 about this authority thing. You know, people are seeking authority everywhere. There's so many, the church is full of men who promoted themselves, just like Rory's saying. They sought to take authority that was not given unto them. They didn't go by the rules. And when they made it there, it's just like the verses that I read earlier, they became a fool, you know. And Luke 4 says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Spirit in the wilderness. So the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So he goes on to say, during 40 days, being tempted of the devil. The Holy Spirit wanted him to be tried. And, of course, we're all going to be tried. It is the Lord's will that we be tried. You know, what did Jesus say unto Peter? Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail you. You know, he didn't say, I prayed he wouldn't be able to do it. He just said, I prayed your faith wouldn't fail you. You have to be tried, right? And the Holy Spirit will lead us into trials. The Holy Spirit led them into the wilderness. And the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he could eat nothing in those days, and when they were completed, in other words, he didn't feed his flesh. And when they were completed, he hungered. The devil said unto him, if thou art the Son of God, command this stone that it become bread. And Jesus answered unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You know, first of all, he wanted Jesus to prove who he was. You know, how many times have you been tempted to prove who you are? You wanted to prove to your family who you are. You wanted to prove to your friends who you are. Well, that is ego, and that is the devil. And this is a temptation that not only Jesus will go through, but everybody else will go through. And if you live for the glory of God, you won't mind being in the shadows. If you live for the glory of men, you want to prove who you are. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Boy, he's offering him some great glory here, right? The devil said unto him, to thee will I give all this authority. See, the devil wants to give us authority, but not according to the will or the way of God. You don't have to overcome to get authority under the devil. You don't have to be mature to get authority under the devil. But Jesus said the very opposite. He that overcometh will I give authority. So everybody wants a shortcut, right? Because it's a competitive thing. Many people have been rejected, and they got something to prove. And they want the glory of prominence, of position, of wealth, of many things. They want the flesh to glory. The devil said unto him, to thee will I give all this authority and the glory of them. For it hath been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. will tell you with the voice of God that you're an apostle, you're a prophet, you're this and you're that. Yes, sister, you can be the pastor of this church. He'll appeal to ego. He'll use Jezebel. He'll do anything he can to get you out of the will of God. And the devil said unto him, to thee will I give all this authority and the glory of them. He wants you to take authority that is not given to you by God's way. For it hath been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Thou therefore wilt worship before me, it shall all be thine. And, the word worship here may just be the word proskuneo, which means to kiss towards. It's an act of love towards. If a person loves self, and in some cases even worse, the devil, they're going to take his gifts. They're going to take his bribes. But they're not going to be prepared to do what Jesus did here. You know, Jesus received that Isaiah 61 anointing, and he had to overcome before he can go and do the great things that he did. Now, many people want this, but the devil is trying to give them a shortcut. He's trying to give them authority without overcoming his temptations. And he will be the voice of God to them. They will hear him, and they'll say, the Lord said unto me, you know. They will say it, but it won't be nothing but the devil using their ego. If thou therefore wilt worship before me, it shall all be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So he wasn't taking any shortcut. He was going to wait on the Lord. He was going to wait on the Father to give it to him the correct way. And believe me, everybody's going to be tempted with this. Everybody. They'll be tempted with money. They'll be tempted with authority. They'll be tempted with power. They'll be tempted to prove who they are. But if you take that route, you won't be prepared to do what Jesus did in this chapter, or began to do in this chapter. That Isaiah 61 anointing, where he went forth in the power of the Lord. And he led him up to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee to guard thee, and on their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. He shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And many, of course, you know, believe that they can force God's hand, you know, to take care of them, and they fail. And when the Lord had completed every temptation, he departed from him for a season. But Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and his fame went out concerning him throughout all the regions round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. So here the Lord gave to him, because he overcame the temptation to not give in to the devil. The Lord gave unto him what the devil wanted to give him through the flesh. Now, believe me, the devil can do this. He can promote you to great honor. It's like Balak could have done Balaam. He can promote you to great honor. He can give you the world, but you'll lose your soul. You'll be a fool in the end, just as the Scripture says. We dare not do anything but walk in the crucified life. We dare not. Our flesh will deceive us every time.